Glory to God. Isn't God good? Praise the name of Jesus. You know, God's not bigger than his word. The word of God is all you got. The word brought you here and the word's going to take you away. Amen? I'm privileged to be here tonight, giving honor to God who's ahead of my life. My pastor with the privilege of being in his pulpit and First Lady, Sister Cindy. Thank you, Jesus. It's tough. Sometimes it's tough to get here on Wednesday night. I was feeling great on Sunday. I was walking here, but all of a sudden, it came back. That's all right. The devil's a lie. I'm going to get healed. Amen. I got some scriptures, but I didn't give them to you, Sister Dakota. Proverbs 30:5 says, every word of God is pure. He said, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Every word is pure. Isaiah 48 said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God abideth forever. This is powerful stuff. Do you know this is powerful? This is what brought you here tonight, is the word. Why do you think you're here tonight? It's his word. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Don't shoot no blanks. That brother was praying today. He said, no misfires. Ain't no misfires in God's word. It's going to hit where it was designed to go. Glory to God. Matthew 24:25 said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Be here for a long time. It'd be here longer than you. Glory to God. John 6:63, one of my favorite scriptures. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Eye candy, ain't nothing. But he said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Why do you think you could read a scripture 5 years from now? Wow, I got a buzz off that one. It's living. It comes at you just at the right time. I never seen that before. I've been reading the Bible 20 years. Wow, it's a living word. It's a living word. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. I'm going to pray
for a minute. We ask you to anoint the ears of the congregation, Lord. Anoint them so they might hear your word. Oh, God, anoint my lips of clay that I might speak what you want me to speak. Let me do the things that are pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I was thinking about, Pastor wanted me to come up and say a few words before Robbie comes up. And I'm thinking, what can I say? I had this predefined one. All of a sudden, he starts speaking to me. The word starts speaking to me. So, Psalm 91. Let's talk about Psalm 91. It said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. You know how I love to talk about God's name. He's the Most High God. Most High God. You can't get higher than God. A lot of gods out there, but you can't get higher than God. He's the Most High God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Bless you, sister. Every time I look at my little sign, said Redeemer, I think about y'all, you and the brother Flair. It said, he did dwell in the secret place of Moha, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Sometimes you can, you know how you cook stuff and you cook it too fast, it don't taste good, but when you cook it real slow, it tastes real good. It savors like that spaghetti sauce, that homemade stuff. You cook real slow. Might take all day to cook it, but look at the taste. The word of God is that way too. Sometimes we can't just run through these scriptures. We got to take it real slow. Psalm 91 and 2 says, I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge. He's my fortress. Glory, I get excited. He's my God. He's my God. He's my God. In him will I trust. I'm not going to trust in Biden. I'm not going to trust in the political systems and the degrees and the education and the technology. No, no, no. I'm going to trust in God. You know why? Because he's the most high God. He's the most high God. Glory to God. Psalms 91:3 says, surely, I love this word in the Bible, surely, know this, he shall deliver thee from the snare of a fowler. Oh, what's that? He's the one the fowl sings up. Yeah, he's a fowler. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. You know the enemy is a 24-hour devil? He don't go to sleep. He's 24 hours. That's all he does. He's trying to trap you. That's all he does. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But God said, he said, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now, that in the TPT, you got a split screen for me? I don't know. You don't have to split screen. But anyway, TPT says he will rescue from every hidden trap of the enemy. Traps. All day long, he's setting traps for you. You, how many decisions you got to make all day long? He's setting traps for you. He wants to kill you. He didn't want you to be here tonight. Tell you somebody else didn't want you to be here tonight. The liquor store man. The club owner. The gambling guy. They don't want you to be here. You know why? Because you're not patronizing their business. You're not spending your money and getting high and things like that. Don't be alone, want you here. Yeah, no, 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 no. They don't want you here. Don't you believe for a minute there's not principalities out there trying to kill you every day. You're a chosen generation, a peculiar people. You got a bullseye on your head. Hidden traps. Hidden traps. He says in the TPT, he said he will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect you from false accusations and a deadly curse. You know, sometimes I get really upset when people lie on me and say something bad or somebody messes up at work and I got to pay for it because they messed up. We got this thing where we work at home and stuff, and we got to be right. You got to write down your time, tell them what you're doing because you're not at work. They can't see you. But some people abuse that privilege and they don't do that, and all of a sudden we all have to suffer for it. Right? But there's things out there that are the accuser. He wants to accuse you. He might get you upset at a family member for being upset. He might get you in a place of somebody said something. Well, I didn't say that. I said, you know how that stuff go back and forth. He's an accuser of the brethren. Yeah, yes, he is. Glory to God.
Sometimes people are the hidden
trap. Amen. 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 Psalm 91:4 says, his massive arms, well, I'll read the King James first. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Boy, when I've been in a bad place this last couple months because this thing hit me. And only one I could call at 2:00 in the morning, I couldn't call Pastor. He's asleep or whatever. He can't help me. He can't dispatch I had to call God. I was in pain. God, help me. Don't get me wrong. Pastor can get a prayer through. But when you get in those situations where you know what I'm talking about, when you get painful and you're depressed and pain and stressed out and things ain't going right, you got to trust in God. You got to call God. So he said, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and his wings shalt thou trust, and he shall be a shield and buckler. TPT says, his massive arms are wrapped around you. Oh God, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms are faithfulness and are a shield in keeping you from harm. God don't want you to be harmed. Amen. Amen. 91:5, King James says, thou shalt not be afraid by the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Oh, my God. Nighttime. Oh, my God. Rich dew. Oh my God, this is due. Oh my God, she's going to win. Oh my God, my kids are. Don't we even think, hey, lighten up. It's okay. Trust God. God's got your back. Do you know this didn't take God by surprise? Do you know everything you're going through? It didn't take God by surprise. He knew it. He's got your back. That's why you serve the Most High God. You don't have to worry about that. Well, God, don't you know what's going to happen tomorrow? No. God's got your back. Hallelujah. It says, you will never worry about an attack of a demonic force at the night, nor have the fear of a spirit of darkness coming against you. Nah, you won't. You're beyond that. You remember the 23rd Psalm, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies? Amen. Think about that one. They're getting ready to eat. All this mess is going around. Come on, let's eat. Let's rest. Let's get full of God. This word is powerful, isn't it? It's powerful. So I left off at 96.6 says, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. The TPT says, don't fear a thing, whether by day or night, the demonic danger will not trouble you. You nor the powers of evil will be launched against you. I got you covered. Psalm 97 says, 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 by thy right hand, but it not going to come to you. This ain't going to happen to you. Ain't going to happen to you. World can go to heck, hell in a handbasket, that's what they say. But it ain't going to happen to you. Don't you worry about nothing. Don't you worry about the plagues and COVID and all that mess. Be smart and get your shot, whatever you have to do, but don't you worry about it. God's got your back again. It says, even in the time of disaster with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. This is the word of God. This is promises. This is in your Bible. And glory to God. We're going to skip down to the 9th verse. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, here we go again, thy habitation. It says, and no terrible disasters will strike you or your home. Psalm 91:11 says, for he shall give, I love this one, he shall give his angels charge over thee and keep thee in all thy ways. Do you know he dispatched some angel? You got your angel around you? Angel of the Lord. And camp with the round of righteous and deliver them. You got your angel. If he opened our eyes right now, you'd be surprised how many angelical forces are in this church. You'd be surprised what's around you. He said, the things you see are temporal, but the things you don't see are eternal. Is that right? All kind of protection around you. You got backup. Mighty angels. I know I got my angel. Too many times he done rescued me from death. Death done passed over my house a lot of times. It wasn't because of my intellect and my degrees. It was because God has mercy. Remember I said the other day, I said Ephesians 2:4? Rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. But's a negative word, but God is a positive word. One of the positives in that is many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, there you go, turns that negative into a positive, delivereth them out of them all. God is good. God is good. Amen. I thank you, Jesus, for this time. Amen.
But you couldn't say anything any more true than God is good. Amen. The one that created all that you see here and now and will ever see for all of time, the one that robed himself in flesh to save me from sin, to pay a debt that he did not owe for a price that I could not pay. We serve an almighty, all-powerful, everywhere, at all time kind of God. Amen? And because of those things, we know he is good. Amen. Before I start, I just want to say I am so thankful for my pastor and his wife, and I can't even imagine where I'd be without them pouring into my life, even when I didn't want it. I never deserved it. But that was definitely a bridge that God used, and I one day finally decided to accept, and I thank you for that, Pastor. And I thank you for the trust you've placed in me as I preach the word tonight. I'm very excited for what I'm about to preach about, because it's one of those subject matters where you could never stop talking about. You could never stop pulling from. I could never stop getting strength from, and that's the fact that God is good. In fact, my hope tonight is that I actually leave some verses, some things unsaid and left on the table. I'll know I've done my job if I see Brother Darren's pen starting to create smoke on his iPad there. I love it. I love to talk about the goodness of God. It's such a rich well of conversation. A well that you'll never be able to stop pulling from. My opening scripture is James chapter 1, verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What that verse tells me, that whether we just see it and all, we would label it as good, because we're showered with blessings, and God is making a way. And sometimes I take so many things for granted that I don't realize God's goodness is showing itself each and every day. All the way from those things that I might miss to the things that I might label as perfect, it all comes from God. Because not only is he good, but this verse tells me that that will never change. I might look at Brother Anthony and I think that's a good man right there. But you're a man, bro. Just a man, if I may put it that way. And someday you might let me down. If you do, I won't hold that against you. I'll still pray for you. But I can say that about any person in here. But I can't say that about my God, because not only is he good, but he will always be good. No variableness, neither shadow of turning, that will never change. Jeremiah 29:11, if I could have that in the NLT. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. Not only is he good, not only does he never change, but he has plans for me, and they are good. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's so good for me that he died on a cross for not me at my best, when I might be seen as good to someone else. But he did that knowing me at my very worst. He's so good that he can cover me with his blood at my very worst. Amen. Luke 18:19 says, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. A whole Bible study could be preached on just that verse. Pastor Herring touched on this, so I only want to just very briefly go over that. It was a heavy touch. I think we might have fallen over. It was good. But it definitely got my mind turning on how Jesus never corrected him. He never said, "That's not me." It was more of a, "I don't think you realize what you're on to. What you're looking at is more than just a hunk of flesh. Inside this flesh is housed the Almighty God, the fullness of the Godhead, the very power of creation. And he's there to change the very trajectory of your life. What I mean by that is without that change, we're all headed to a sinner's hell. There is no one good. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. And without what happened on the cross, we would all be headed to a sinner's hell. I'm so thankful that God is so good. Psalms 33:5 says, "He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." If only I would remember that at all times. If only I could just open my eyes sometimes, because if the Bible says it, that settles it. I know it to be true. But I can't always realize it sometimes. I don't always notice it. But if only I would get my eyes off of my situation sometimes, I might notice just how good God still is, because he never changes. Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Not only is he good, but he is calling you just to see, just to experience that goodness. He doesn't want to leave any of it on the table. He wants you to have it all. He wants you to experience all of that goodness. Psalms 107:1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." More of that goodness that lasts on and on and on. Psalms 145 verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all." All. That's what I was just about to say. No matter what the church sign says where you gather, no matter what color your skin is, no matter what your last name is, no matter what your bank account says, my Bible says that God is good to all. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." I absolutely love this verse. I try to make sure that this reminder is alive in my life each and every day. And here's why. Because that tells me, not only is his goodness all around me at all times, can do anything, but he can even take my mess and do more than just deliver me from it. He can take that mess and say, "I can do something with even this. I can turn this into something beautiful. I can do a mighty work that you could never see." Don't limit God. God is so good. As humans, Brother Trace, we have trouble sometimes when we're in those what are sometimes labeled as dark times, our trials. We're facing a hardship. And when dealing with those things, you know, you see these trends of how humanity as a whole deals with them, where generations past had this habit of pushing it to the back of their minds or saying, no, everything's fine when it's not fine. And then I'm glad to see some of those trends change. Unfortunately, now the pendulum is starting to swing so far the other way that we wear our problems as if they're badges. I mean, I don't know how much all of us are connected to some of the trends going around out there. But when introducing themselves, people are going to the point of not only their identity and orientation and all these other things, the list just keeps going down, and then they list off all their mental conditions or mental struggles as if it's part of their identity. You know that's just what the devil wants. Do you know why that is? The devil wants that because that puts our attention wholly on our affliction rather than our deliverer. How could I ever let go of something that's now a part of me and how I introduce myself and I wear it as a badge? I'm so strong because this is what I'm facing. No, I'm strong because I know who has all power. Trials tempt us to shift focus from how good God is to how challenging our trial is, which is exactly what Satan wants. I want to look at two verses of Scripture here that we like to throw around quite a bit around here. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Hold that thought. Psalms 22:3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Where two or three are gathered, he's right there in the middle. Where the praises are, he's right there. What are two of the first things that happen when someone gets deep down and what they're facing is starting to affect them and pull on them? They isolate and they lose their praise. Sometimes it's almost immediately. And that's because Satan knows that if he can separate us from the body and get us to give up our praise, there's a pretty good chance that he's going to be able to take us down. But that tells us that the opposite is true. If no matter how I feel, no matter the hatred I might be feeling for whatever reason for my brother or sister, no matter whether it feels fake when I'm promoting that atmosphere of praise, if I can do whatever I can do to gather around like-minded saints of precious faith and don't let the enemy steal my praise, it might not feel real and genuine at first, but listen, you can promote the change that needs to come. I don't have to feel it to know that God is good. It's powerful to see how God works when we push through when we don't feel like it. Oh, it's easy when we feel like it. And it's easy if that's our personality type to be loud and flamboyant and everything's going right. Are you trying to tell me that means the same, that counts for the same amount as when I don't feel like it? I have to push through. That's called sacrifice. Do you know what gets God's attention is sacrifice. Sometimes my flesh might be telling me one thing, but if it doesn't line up with what I know, with what's being said in the Bible. That flesh needs to be put on an altar. If only I can stay gathered with the body. If only I could keep my praise alive. Then I know that Satan will not have the last say. Psalms 23, verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I was just staring at this verse, Pastor, and I just noticed something. Think about this. This is written by someone who valued the house of God. Then saying he went to the house of God, and it encouraged him to go to the house of God. You ever notice how when you start to miss one service, then a second service, then it's a lot easier to miss that third one? You're stepping out of that feedback loop, that positive feedback loop that says, I need to get to the house of God. And then I get there and I say, wow, God is so good, I can't wait to get here again and again. Brother Playle, you said it perfectly earlier, how God works. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. And as you start to see that play out, you don't want to miss church. We need what goes on in these four walls. Psalms 27:13 said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Without getting my mind right, without making sure that I am seeing that goodness, I will start to faint. I can be going through all the motions. I can be just a figure of speech, Pastor. I can be fooling my pastor. But if in my heart I'm not focusing on that goodness, if I'm not letting what happens here go down deep and do more than just go in one ear and out the other, if I don't work on breaking up the fallow ground of my heart so that I not only hear it, but it goes deep down inside, takes root, and changes me from the inside out, I will faint. I will then make this just a building constructed of steel, sheetrock, paint. At that point, I make the church just a building. There is power when we gather to praise his name. Amen. When Brother or Pastor Blackshear was up here, I almost handed him my notes. When he started to get on this, it was pretty hilarious. But he started to talk about John 10:10. And before I go there, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And then John 10:10 talks about his tactics. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." And if you look at that, these tactics there, how they're progressive. He wants to steal your focus and your joy. He wants to kill your trust in the body, in the ministry, in your leadership. He wants to kill your motivation to push through, to put that flesh on the altar, to get what I need. And ultimately, he wants to steal your, or destroy your praise, which will destroy you. I hope that proves to someone that we need to fight the devil. Now, fighting the devil may not be exactly what you think it is or look exactly the way you think it does. I am with my pastor on this, where I just don't believe there's a spirit behind every bush. I do not think it's right to say, you know what, I'm going to look around, the devil's around here somewhere, I wonder if he's under this, and you turn over a milk jug and there he is and you're going to sock him one. I'm being silly, but there's a spiritual application to that where people think they're devil hunting. But my Bible has a different approach. Isaiah 59:19 says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." See, I don't pursue the devil. I pursue Jesus. If you see the devil working in your life or someone else, the best thing you can do is get closer to Jesus. The best thing you can do is raise up a standard. What you might not realize is fighting. You are fighting the devil when you say, "In my house, we don't do that. My little girl doesn't have to wear the same clothes that all her classmates wear. My little boy," he's not so little anymore, "doesn't need to use that same language that all his friends use. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to be in church on a Sunday morning. You can do what you want to do, but I came to praise the Lord." Now I know what Sister Haley's going to sing, but this is how I fight my battles. Such a fitting song. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Not only does that give me comfort, not only does that protect me, not only does that save me, but that fights the enemy. Don't separate, don't give up, and keep praising. Why? Because God is good. Stand for what's right in your own life. Make it to church faithfully, and never stop praising the goodness of God. I'm a little bit early, but I want to end with this. I've said it before that when the Bible says anything, it's worth paying attention to. When the Bible repeats itself, it's really worth paying attention to. But what about when the Bible says it four times? Psalms 107, and I'm going to skip through verses 8, 15, 21, and 31. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 15. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I think we should stand to our feet and give the God that is deserving of all praise a hand clap of praise, because verse 31 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." God is so good. And if you heard me say, "Suck it up, just praise God," it's not my voice that you were hearing. The enemy's real. Affliction's real. But I'm telling you right now, this is how we fight. We praise the God and that is worthy of all praise. And we fight together. Amen.
Would you take Brother Todd back there and get him changed, bro? And get him. We're going to have a water baptism, thank God. In the name of the Lord. Be seated. Be seated. We heard some good stuff tonight from both of the brothers. Good, precious truths we heard tonight. And I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Appreciate the passion behind it. You'll pardon me for always wanting to get the last word, and that's not the point. But if you've been any other church than this, you know this is just what pastors do, all right? But trials and afflictions are not always sent by hell. So even though you're fighting things, it doesn't make God any less good. That's what you're saying. That's what Brother Rob has been saying. But let's just draw the line so distinct here, can we? So that no one has to guess. Wonder what he's talking about. You don't have to do that. If you're fighting afflictions because of your sin, that's a different thing. Listen, there's a cost to sin. And when we willingly go against the will of God, there's going to be tribulation because of that. And we go, I don't understand why God's letting this happen. God's not letting it happen. There is a recourse to sin. But if you have not sinned, then the Bible, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So those tests in life just make you stronger. If you don't quit, if you don't run away like, I can't handle this. What do you want Paul thought in the middle of that Philippian jail cell in the middle of the night? Why is God doing this? God's not doing it. Life brings things that make you stronger if you don't run away from them. If every time something doesn't go your way on your job, you quit. There's stability in sticking things out. There's solid base that's developed by getting through things in life. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a friend that bails on me every time the waters get rough and choppy. I don't need your friendship. I need people that understand life gets rough once in a while. It doesn't mean that God is not any good anymore. Now that's a precious sight right there, brother. That is a precious sight right there. Come on, brother. I was talking to that man before church tonight, and I didn't even have to ask him if he was sincere. It was in his eyes and on his words and in his breath. When Paul said, bonds and afflictions abide me. You know what he said? They live everywhere I live. And that same Paul said, the goodness of God. So just because you're going through stuff, don't throw your hands up and quit. Check your life. Am I the cause of this because of what I'm doing, God? If I'm not the cause of it, my life is right, my heart's pure, then praise God through the thing. Praise God through it. You're going to get through it. You're going to get through it. God's going to get you through it. There's a time to sow and a time to reap. There's a time to plant and a time to harvest. And if you don't give up during the planting season, you're going to harvest a great reward. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, you are good. These guys preach tonight. Guys preach. And Brother Rob told me last week, Brother Rob was supposed to preach last Wednesday, and when Elder Blackshear called me or texted me and said, I'm coming to your church tonight. And I said, why are you coming? And he said, because I want to hear you preach. I said, well, you're out of luck because I'm not preaching tonight. I said, you're welcome to sit on the front row and shout with Brother Rob, or I will always yield my pulpit to the elder. And anyway, so Brother Rob told me after church, I don't even know if I should talk about this. He preached my notes. That's just the way it goes, bro. That's just confirmation. You know, when people talk about things I'm going to preach, just like he got on some stuff tonight that I'm going to talk about Sunday morning. If God tarries and I laugh, that doesn't scare me away. That jacks me up, man. Like, yeah, I know I'm thinking the right thing. I will never forget my precious Brother Hayes. Years ago over there, I mean years ago, and I had preached something this particular day that I had preached a couple years prior. Oh, the shame of it all. I never cease to laugh at people's reaction when evangelists come into town. They're like, oh, dear God, I've never heard it like that. I'm preaching, brother. I never heard it like that before. If you'd been paying attention, I just talked about it 2 weeks ago over there. One of your 9 trips to the bathroom, I was talking about that. How do I get in this stuff? But anyway, these evangelists preach messages hundreds of times, and there's nothing wrong with it. God gives them a word, and it's seasoned. Every time you preach it, see, anyway, I preach something, and Brother Hayes meets me up here, just right here, and he goes, he had that way, you know. And he just scratched his big square jaw, and he goes, haven't you preached that before, Pastor? Yep, yeah, more than once or twice. Solomon said, there's no new thing under the sun. And the things you bemoan me talking about, not you, but people bemoan me, they want me to come preach it at Life Church. In the last 6 months, I would venture to say, Pastor Blackshear's asked me, I'll tell him Sunday morning our notes. He goes, please, please, get Brother Playo to preach and come to Anchorage and preach that for me today. So I'm like, yeah, they rue that thought in Palmer. How do I get on these things? I have no idea. You stirred me up tonight. You brothers stirred me up, and I appreciate that in a good way. In a good way. Hey, that's what the Word's supposed to do. The Word is supposed to get inside of us, shake us up and stir our hearts, encourage our mind and redirect our steps.